You'll have to forgive me. I'm shy. I don't like to be in front of people. Marty said keep it to 3 minutes. And I was thinking there I wanted to yield my 3 minutes to the band. So, all right. Well, got 5 minutes? Okay. Baptist five? All right. What is, what does it mean when the pastor takes his watch off? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. All right. I've been with Marty, I think, 5 years. I stole Kenny's joke, so he'll tell him when he sees me. Was it 5 years? I think it's about five. And kind of been on a little journey, a little process. I've grown year after year after year. It's been an awesome experience to see what God has not only done in my own life and in my family's life and in the life of the residents that I serve on a regular basis. To see my children grow, you probably don't know this, but the summer times I don't pay for child care. When they're out on the summers, they come with me every day to all the nursing homes. If you think with me for a moment, what it's like to be an elderly person who is in a nursing home, and you don't find a lot of young people who visit nursing homes. And so the elderly people usually don't see anybody younger than the nurses that work there. And so when somebody young comes in, I mean, they go crazy, I guess is the word that I'm looking for, over somebody that is small. They want to hug, they want to kiss, they want to love, and that has been a great blessing to my family over the years. One of the things that I asked myself early on was what was the purpose? I mean, if you initially step into that kind of a situation and you see so many problems. When I first came to Savannah, I was a chaplain at Memorial, and soon after I began to work with Marty McKenzie. And if you're a chaplain at Memorial, Barry Minsky can testify to this. I mean, you see every single problem that the world has to offer in those buildings, from psychological problems to physical problems. I mean, everything under the sun. I spent one of my afternoons at Memorial Hospital talking to this woman in the psych ward, claiming that she had demons and she thought that she wasn't saved and she wanted to know how to get saved, and just overwhelming stuff, and going into the nursing homes and seeing. Well, it's been a process over the years, and one of the things that I've learned in that process is that we make ministry a whole lot harder than what it really is. Because the same thing that I need to teach my children, the same things that I need to do in encouraging my brothers and sisters in Christ in my Sunday school class, the same thing that I need to do for the people that are sitting in front of me in a congregation, whether it be in a nursing home or a church, is pretty much the same thing. So we're all spiritually starving. We're all spiritually hungry, and we all need the Word of God. And so I found that my ministry in the nursing home was much less, not much different than any other place. They're hungry and they need the Word of God. One of our responsibilities comes from Hebrews chapter 3. It says, Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Listen, that's true from the person. The young child is a new believer in the nursery, in the children's section, in the youth department, in the senior adults, and in the nursing home. One of our responsibilities as Christians is to feed other people the Word of God. Pour the gospel into their lives. You can read many passages in scriptures where it says if they have gone out from the faith, if they depart from the faith, it's a good indication that perhaps they never were a part of of us, and this means in a nursing home as well. I think the church neglects one of their great responsibilities in walking with our elderly brothers and sisters in Christ, pouring the Word of God into their lives at perhaps one of the most difficult times of their whole entire life. Listen, when somebody's running the race, you start cheering for them as they run. But when they're getting close to the finish line, when they're getting ready, that's when the excitement comes on, and that's when everybody begins to cheer for them because they're getting ready to pass that line. And I find myself as a cheerleader many times in the nursing homes, just encouraging them to persevere, keep pouring the Word of God into their hearts so that they don't fall away from the faith, so they don't give up in the very end, but they finish their race and finish it well. Thank you very much. God bless.
We're going to have Tom Stevens come, and he's going to speak about the Youth Detention Center. Tom's been helping over at the Youth Detention Center, and he's got a heart for these young folks. And this is his little girl, Savannah, who's coming into her own. But he's going to speak to us about the Youth Detention Center and what all is going on over there. Tom Stevens.
If she was pulling tickets out, she's fine. But when she's up talking, she'll just hide back there. This is Savannah. She'll be 4 years old. Her name is Savannah, but she was born in Virginia. But if her name wasn't Savannah, we probably would never live here. So God's got an interesting way of working and making you notice certain things on job postings, like the city that it's in, because you just had a daughter named that. But my name is Tom Stevens. Isaiah, my other one who's about to turn two, he's the Amen corner that you heard up here. He doesn't have a long attention span, but when you get to Amen, he chimes right in and keeps it going. But I've had the privilege of working with Marty's ministry, with His Love Ministries, since we started coming to CBC when it was in Johnny Harris. We met Marty and Shell, and we started going to a small group at their home. We got to know them a little bit. Savannah got to know their dog, Sugar, who she still talks about. But my wife and I, Sue, who just walked out to the nursery, we have a huge heart for the city. I'm actually an urban planner that works for the city of Savannah. My passion is being a Christian who's in the city for the city, because God has a heart to change and transform all people. I grew up in church my entire life, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 18. Then I went off to college and promptly did some really dumb things. Ended up getting arrested, so I know a little bit of who we're serving in some ways. But God has always used those things to correct me. Always brought people in my life at the exact right time, with the exact right ability, exact right gifting, when those things were needed. And my heart is to be able to work with kids and to be able to work with families that have accepted the lies of the street and accepted the lies of this world, and introduce them to the truth of the gospel, and allow God just to use that in their lives to transform who they are, because I've seen Him do that in my life. And I don't even know how long it's been since I've been at YDC, maybe a year and a half. I started going with Candace, who was just phenomenal for me, just to see, even though I had led Bible studies, just to see His ability just to open the Word and just walk through it clearly, just to be who He is, allow God to use Him and His ability and His gifts to allow His gospel to be proclaimed. And I would say through YDC, the first time I went in there, I was a little bit surprised, because you see kids that are 11, 12 years old that are locked up. And you see the 16 and 17-year-olds that are locked up. Then you ask them how long they're going to be there, or how long they have been there. And some of them has been over a year. You know, when you should be out in that summer playing Little League Baseball or going to the pool, and you're locked up for that amount of time. But the interesting thing I started to notice is, one, there was literally a captive audience. When we go in there and we have the opportunity to minister through the Word, kids want to hear it. They want to hear what we have to say. They want to hear what the Bible has to say. A lot of them have time on their hand. So when they're in there, and if they have access to a Bible, and somebody's given the ministry Bibles, and I don't know who that was, but thank you if you've been a part of donating those Bibles, because we use them. Kids eat those up. I have a waiting list of kids who want Bibles. But they spend time reading those over and over, and they'll come and ask me questions about Revelation. And I say, well, let's start with the Gospel of John instead. Well, let's get into Romans. We can get into that stuff because that's fun and interesting. Let's figure out who God is first and who he created you to be first. But as we start to do that, as we start to open up and kids start to really be hungry for the Word, and you see it in there, and they're listening, they're captive, let me just challenge you and say the fields are ripe for harvest. Absolutely ripe for harvest. And you might find a kid who's your next-door neighbor or out here in South Garden. I know a lot of these kids because we see them every week. It's hard to get a kid to sit down and listen to the gospel or to even remember a memory verse out of 1 week. But in there, those kids are listening. They have time to think these things through in their heads. The fields are ripe for harvest. But at times, the laborers are few. And we have to be willing to go when God calls us, to be obedient, to step up in that way, because that's how he's going to work through his church, through his body. The other thing I would say that I've noticed, outside of it just being absolutely ripe for harvest and the need for us to be there, is even before that, even before we get there to teach or to preach the word, at times going to YDC for me, it's not even about those kids that are there. Because there's been many weeks that I've noticed this. And Miss Christie, who's been there, has probably noticed this as well. There's weeks that are really hard to go. Whether just in your spirit, you're just not up for it, or the many things in your life that take time and you have responsibility over can take time away from there. But the first thing I notice is God just wants us to be obedient, period. He's going to do what he's going to do. But we have to be willing to be obedient first. And those weeks where I've set at work and it's 5 o'clock and it's time to go home, and I'd rather go home and play with them as opposed to sit for an hour and then go to YDC and sit there for an hour and teach. Those have been some of the absolute freshest times where God has just done amazing things. There's times where I just sat outside literally for 15, 20 minutes sometimes really thinking, am I going to go in today? I've already made the effort to get there. There's just this battle going on, and I go in, and one of those times, 4 guys got saved that day, and praise God for that. But it's a step of obedience that we have to be willing to follow what God has called us to. And there's other times that I've been there, and I've been obedient to go, and I'll sit there for an hour, and for whatever reason, because of staffing issues or something going on inside, we're not able to go in that day. And I spend an hour sitting there talking with the staff out front of the check-in, and I get to talk to him about the gospel, about why I come, about why I do this. With times I don't even get to share with anybody, but it's put on my heart again that I've been obedient to what God has called me to do. So let me just encourage you, let me challenge you, for his love ministry's sake. It is absolutely a joy. It's absolutely incredible to see these young kids at YDC, and the girls I know that Miss Christie has worked with just absolutely open up and desire the word of God at certain times. So the fields are ripe. Be a part if God calls you there to harvesting, to being there to do that. And secondly, just be obedient, because you don't always know what God's going to do through that. But we do know that he honors our obedience, and he desires our obedience, because that's the first place of worship that we can start, is obeying his voice when he calls us. And the other final thing I would say is, and Christy's been an example of this, I was working with the girls, and there was a lot of fruit, there was a lot of growth going there. But being in my 20s, being a young guy, not a lot of young guys go in and hang out with the girls in YDC, and they probably shouldn't. There was times that was really good, and there was times where that was really a distraction for me to come in behind their unit. And God always that I've seen in ministry, especially in the last couple of years, has always brought the exact right person with the exact right gift at the exact right time. And Miss Christie has been that for the ladies there on Echo Unit, and you might be that person wherever God calls you to serve. God has given you a gift, and allow him to use it in the way he calls you to. And when you do, there's an absolute joy in it. And I just thank you all for supporting this ministry, for allowing Marty to ask guys like me over and over and over to get involved. To the point that I finally actually listen to his voice and God's voice and do it. And it's been a great joy, and it's been just an amazing experience for me. So I appreciate y'all and your support. Thank you.
Next, I'm going to have Mr. Ken McDonald come up and speak to us for a minute, as long as he's here and he's willing. All right, Ken.
Thank you, Tom.
Hi, as Marty said, my name's Ken McDonald, and as I was listening to Tom share from his heart, I'm on the, I would say our family was on the receiving end of his love ministries. I met Marty and Shelley years ago, but I never really saw the end product, the actual ministry in action. In July the 3rd of 2009, my mom was, we were informed that she had dementia and she could no longer live by herself. We moved her to Habersham House, and there I got to hearing about this church that she went to, and I didn't know that it was, you know, His Love Ministries. And there were several guys that came in, and I kept hearing about it. And of course, as time passed on, Marty ended up being there just about every Sunday. And I heard about this fellow that he would come down the hall. Oops, sorry about that. He would come down the hall. Come on now, Miss McDonald. It's time for church. And I promised Marty I wouldn't do this, but it's so precious. It was so. I treasure this, and I love you, brother. You know that. Even though Mom could never remember his name, she would say, "What's his name?" I said, "Are you talking about Marty McKenzie?" She said, yeah, that's right. She says, "I want you to know he came to my door, and he knocked on the door, and he said, 'Miss McDonald, it's time to go to church.'" She said, "Oh, by the way, he's a good-looking man." Shelly, you didn't have anything to worry about, darling. She was 93 years old, okay? And really, we laugh. But she, in her own way, appreciated that, just that knock on the door, that invite. All she had to do was open her door and walk down the hall, and that's where church met. She told me about, like I said, she had the dementia, so she said, whoever came, bless your heart, they had that box that made music, and they had great big hymnals like this. They had the words so big I didn't even need my glasses. But folks, that's something that I will always cherish. I'm excited for this ministry. I've often thought, how could I get involved? How could I volunteer? There's a lot going on right now, but I think maybe one day God will open the door, and who knows? But I can speak from the receiving end. And when we got close to the end of Mom's life, I looked back over those years, 2009, 2010, and Mom died in April 2011. Going back to what Tom said, for a person that went to a church for over 50 years, her own church didn't reach out like His Love Ministries. I caught a lot of flack, I'm sure, from people of that church. Why I didn't do this or do that. Why I didn't have the funeral there and this, that, and the other. But I thought about death is really not the end. It's a celebration of life as we move on to glory. And that celebration, I couldn't think of anybody else that in my heart that I would rather have do Mom's funeral than Marty. And bless his heart, I think he was a little bit taken back when I asked him, but I want you to know he stepped up to the plate. The gospel was presented even at funeral. And some of my family members really needed to hear it. And like I said, I don't know if you want to call it indebted to the ministry or whatever. It's just I appreciate that God laid this on your heart just a few years ago, and he knows which way it's going to go. And I just thank y'all for your time, and let me share. Thank you.
Yeah, y'all continue to pray for Ken and the family as they go through all the things of losing parents. I know some of y'all know that we lost my father last year, and it's a lot to go through, plus all the stuff doing with the family and taking care of business. It's just way more than you want to deal with. And so I'm going to have Miss Barbara Johnson come up and speak. She's one of my favorite volunteers. Of course, they're all my favorites, but she rides back and forth with me to Oceanside and Savannah Beach, and every once in a while I need her over at Summer Breeze, and she goes with me over there. So she's an inspiration. Miss Barbara Johnson.
Had I known he was going to have all these speakers before me, I don't think I would have said I would do this. However, I do go out to the nursing homes with Marty, and that is something I'd like to talk about. There are other things that his ministry does that I would like to do, but I have some health issues, and so I pray to the Lord, show me what I can do. He says he will give us the inspiration and the ability to do what we can do, what he has in his will for us. So that is what I am waiting for. I was hoping to go over to the children, but at this point I have only had experience with the nursing home, and that is one of the greatest places anyone could go. There are people there who are all different ages, with all different problems, and need all different kinds of things. Most of all, of course, the gospel, but they need a pat on the back, they need a hug, they need those kinds of things much of the time. We even sometimes have a young girl who runs up and thinks Marty's come to take her out to dinner. And she doesn't know who Marty is, and then she once asked him if I was his wife, and so I thought, oh dear, now we're really getting in trouble. But there are many, many people who need people to come to visit them, and many of them do not have visitors that we know of, and if we talk to them, they say they do not. And the nurses say they do not. So I would think that anybody who has any kind of care for an older person would think about the loneliness that they are living through in these homes. And that's why I am privileged to go with Marty. And I can't sing, but I can get the songbooks ready, and I do sing. However, I hope nobody hears very much. We do birthday cards, and then we go down the hall knocking on the door and telling them that it's, church is ready, it's time for church, and many of them come, and many of them listen. And we've been there on one occasion when we walked in the door and there were four people waiting. I want to be saved. I'm ready to be saved. And that was a wonderful experience. And the latest unusual thing, this girl who had been giving the nurses a difficult problem came over and wanted to talk to Marty. She said she'd been brought up as a Shiite Muslim, and she didn't understand anything. Well, Marty told her the entire gospel, and she was saved that very day. And I just praise the Lord for that. And there are many people who need that, and some say they have been saved, and some try to say again they're going to be saved, and then we know that their minds are not, maybe not where they should be, but they're still singing and they're still enjoying the gospel and the singing and the fact that we're there and that we can talk to them and love them. And they all love Marty. He is the preacher. And so I don't get a lot of recognition because I'm just following after the preacher. And that's okay. That's okay. Because the preacher is the man and in the nursing home. But if any of you do have any time or that you can use, it would be a wonderful thing to come to the nursing homes, because that is a place where your heart will break, but you'll also leave and thank God for what you do have and what you can do. And that has been my experience throughout all of this, and so I've enjoyed it all, and that's about all there is.
All righty, Ms. Barbara says if she can do it, y'all can do it too, and y'all need to. All right, I got my good friend Mr. John Harden over here, and he works with Alan Barnes, and he's going to come up and speak to us a little bit. All right, come on, John.
Good evening, family. I like to use that term because we understand that when that the bloodline in genetics, it comes from the Father. From the Father to the Son, Jesus Christ. And we are adopted into the family of God. So I know very few faces and names, but we are family. So I feel comfortable. I feel at home, in a sense. Brother Tom stole my line about being shy and bashful. Do I have a prepared 5-minute speech? No. I'm just one of those that the scripture says, open your mouth, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. So I just want to be one of those vessels that and instruments that the Lord can speak through. I didn't get to hear the majority of the other speakers because I've been on the time clock working. I've just got back from helping Alan unload. So it's got to be original. I heard a little bit about the nursing home perspective, and I did catch a little bit about the youth detention center perspective. What I can offer, unedited and uncut, is a perspective from the Department of Corrections perspective. I met Brother Marty McKenzie here. We go back to March 2007. I was transferred from various prisons throughout Georgia into Coastal Transitional Center here in Savannah. And I remember the first time I ever met Marty. I was already pretty well grounded and rooted into the Word through my final surrender to the Lord. But I can speak about His love ministries kind of as a living testimony of it. I got a little format here that they have, and it's probably been on the screen here some. First thing I want to comment about is this here on it's on Tuesdays or Thursday nights about the NA Life Skills Program. You know, being in the church atmosphere, I've often heard rocks thrown at the 12-step programs of AA and NA and CA and whatever A. And then sitting in the groups and rooms of NA and AA, I've heard rocks thrown at religion and church also. Everybody has their own story and their own testimony. Where the turnaround in my life began after a 29-year history of drug dependence, it was in the 12-step program. And I've been in prison 3 times for drug-related offenses. Had a big old gorilla on my back. And the first 2 times I went in, the term Department of Corrections, it doesn't really fit because prison or confinement doesn't really change a person. So when I was in prison the first 2 times, I was just basically separated from my drugs of choice, waiting on the opportunity for the door to open one day, and then I would return to my lifestyle of self-destruction. I was in a real mental bondage. But in May 1999, Chatham County Detention Center, I got into a little cell life skills program, and I got real serious about my recovery. And when that got, you know, I don't know how familiar most of you are with the 12 steps. You may have heard this and that. Get to a step 3, it goes something like this. It goes, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. And once I got real serious about my recovery, that's when the real turnaround came, and it's been forward and upward ever since then. So along with the gospel message, which is number 1, the life skills program, the NA and the AA, well, I see, you know, NA was at the Coastal Transitional Center, and I never was, alcohol never was my drug of choice, so I felt more comfortable in NA. I could identify with you. I know what you're talking about. I can feel you then. So that is a crucial part of the ministry. Whatever it takes, being on a hospital bed or whatever it takes for God to get your attention and get you to surrender, it's a good thing. Now, about the gospel part of His Love Ministries, I want to comment and wrapping it up about the motto of His Love Ministries, which is reaching out to those whom the world has forgotten. And I can testify to that being on the other side of the razor wire, family and associates and a lot of people tend to forget about you. You can send out letters and send out letters and send out letters, and no feedback comes a lot of times. And you have to call collect from inside of prison. And when the calls are not accepted, you begin to feel that you're kicked to the curb. You lock the key, throw them up, and just throw the key away. They're no good. They're society reject. But You see, you may, just about everybody's seen the diet product commercials, the before photo and the after photo. This is some of the after photo that's here today. God really, see, I didn't quit drugs. I truly got set free. The Lord really does set free. As step three says, when we turn our will and our life over to the care of God. Once I did that, I found what true peace and joy and purpose in life is all about. Coastal Transitional Center. I've seen Marty out at Coastal State Prison before too, but I never, just never was in his, to be able to be in his audience due to just the way the regulations are. But in the Transitional Center, a lot of people who were carrying their Bibles and all when they were in prison, they get Transitional Centers kind of like you're got one foot in prison and one foot in the street, and a lot of Bibles get thrown to the side. They want to take the steering wheel back from God and say, I got it now. But this thing called head count, but everybody has to get locked down. The officers have to come around and do a head count, make sure everybody's there. Well, Marty's time and Tom, he would come sometime too, and various volunteers from his love ministry. When the head count clears, at the transitional center, instead of being called an inmate or a prisoner, you're called resident. Well, the doors open and the residents, they head for the TVs, they head for the yard for smoke break or basketball or whatever. And it's massive traffic in the hallways. And I witnessed it many times. This man right here, Marty McKenzie, he's right out here in the middle of the trenches and the byways, the highways and the byways. He's come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Come hear the Word of God. And a lot of people are like, oh, I ain't got time. I'm too busy. And the turnout is often minimum. But Jesus died for me. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful that it was His love ministries and others very similar to it that did reach out to this one that the world had forgotten. I'm forever grateful. Thank you, Marty.
Just give us a couple more minutes. Give Christy a couple and then give me a few and bear with us. Miss Christy Mixon's been helping for about a year and something now, or since, was it last October? She's been trying to help for about 2 years, but it took her, I don't know, 10 months to get into the Youth Detention Center. These people are wanting to get out, and we're having a hard time getting in. It is a spiritual battle, believe me, folks. What Tom spoke about, the waiting to get in, to do, and pray for us on Friday nights. They've changed their shift change, and you have to sit and wait, and it's a mess. It's always something, but it is a spiritual battle. Well, I'm going to let her speak.
Hi. Since Marty brought up the topic of the spiritual battle, I guess I'll talk about that. Sorry. First, I'd like to just thank the Lord Jesus Christ for bringing me to this place of being able to be involved with this ministry. Whenever I first read about the need for the girls at the detention center, it just, I don't know, my heart was just grabbed immediately, and I recognized the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And so I took it to the Lord in prayer and just really wrestled over it. There were so many reasons why I didn't want to do it, and just personal things going on in my life at the time, and I really didn't want to start down that path. I just didn't feel that freedom, but the Lord wouldn't let it go. And so I just kept praying about it and started taking the steps to pursue it. And I'm glad I did, because it took so long, and God was in all that. He knew just the right time that the door would open for me to be there. And so I just give Him the praise for allowing me the great privilege of being there to share Christ with these young women. The need there is really so great, and there are so many different types of people that are found there. There's no set generality to describe these children, these youth, the young men and young women that are there. There are just all types, but the spiritual battle is truly common among all of them. Whether they are simply confused about life, I've seen girls that are just truly, they're like, it seems like they're just walking around in a fog, that they literally just do not even understand their own existence. They're just so confused by the life that they've lived, by the homes that they've come from, by the experiences of abuse that have happened to them. And so they don't even sometimes recognize what they're hearing, but they know that they recognize something that's true, something that's positive, and they're drawn to it. And so I guess just to talk about that a little bit, a story that comes to mind is a young girl that just grabbed my heart probably about 5 weeks ago. And I told my husband about it that night when I came home. But I had shared the gospel. I had spent a good bit of time on this particular occasion and had probably about a dozen girls or so. And as I was closing and finishing, I was trying to just touch base personally with certain ones that had shown an indication that they understood some things spiritually. A few had made decisions for Christ. And so I was walking over to the side, and one particular girl, she was just so quiet. I didn't even know she was there. And as I turned around, I bumped into her. She was just like right there beside me and whispering, like trying to talk to me, but she couldn't even get the words out. She just knew that I had something and that she understood something, and she didn't know what it was, but she wanted it. And so I turned my attention to her, and she said, I want to know how not to be bad. I want to know how not to misbehave. And so she had not understood everything that I had told them that day. So I took her over to the side and slowly walked with her through the gospel again in the book of John, just step by step, verse by verse, really slowly. And it all just dawned on her in a moment, because the Holy Spirit had just simply drawn her spirit to His spirit in me. It's just so much about Christ. And so as we go and we're just available, He just truly does amazing things. And so that's just one example of how He did that. And that day, as I talked with this young woman, who she was just literally just so confused. And the light dawned on her, and she trusted Christ as her Savior. And so that kind of thing happens frequently with the young women and with the young men. And it's amazing to watch and amazing to be a part of. But the spiritual warfare is so much a part of that, and I just really believe in the power of prayer. I know how, as we pray in faith that God would go before us and that He opens the doors for us to get in, and He opens the doors of the hearts of those children to understand first what they're hearing and then to believe Him whom they have heard, and then to make that willful choice with their will to give their life to Jesus Christ and watch what He can do in their lives. And so I'm just thankful for all of you who support the ministry in prayer, in giving, or in whatever ways you do that. And just most of all in prayer, as you sense the Spirit of God reminding you about His love ministries or the different work that's going on, and you're obedient to pray, then you're engaged in that warfare. You're right there with us, battling for the souls of young men and women and elderly people in the nursing homes or the men in the prisons or wherever it may be. So just thank you so much for that. And it's just a blessing to be here and be a part. And just as a side note, I met Marty, I guess, close to 20 years ago now in evangelism training class in a church when I used to attend church over here in Savannah. Got to know his sister Marcy and her husband Joe, and they were just dear, sweet friends of mine that I'll always love. And so it's neat to be a part over here in Savannah again and to be engaged with y'all in the battle for souls. So thank you very much.
Try not to keep you much longer. I know we were supposed to start it at about 8 doing all this, but let me just talk to you a few minutes. I know Ken talked about his mother over at Habersham House, and you know, wherever we go, there's a lot of folks that have been in churches all their life that they have never really truly heard the gospel. Some of them are going to churches that they would not, when they were younger, come to my church. church services. And some of them still won't. They still have the excuses, like John said. You know, they have the excuses. I had one guy years ago, a couple of years ago over at Tara, and he was staring at one of the blank screens with the TV, and it was just had the snow on it. And I asked him, did he want to come to church? And he told me he was too busy. I was like, okay. You know, hey, what you enjoying the snow on the TV, huh? He's too busy. So, you know, I guess I've heard a little bit of all the excuses. You know, I'm not this or not that. A lot of them say, well, you know, what denomination? I said, you know, I'm a Christian. All we teach is Christ and knowing Christ and teach the Word. And I just want to tell you a couple of stories. One lady over there at one of the facilities, she had been coming regularly, and then guess what? All of a sudden, she wasn't coming, and I didn't know if I'd made her mad or upset her or offended her or something happened, and I really didn't know what was going on. And then I guess she started coming back, and her kids came, and I guess they live in Florida somewhere, and I call them kids. I call 40 and 50 and 60-year-old people girls and boys and kids, you know, but they are here, her kids, even though they're 50 or 60 years old. And they came, and we had a church service, and I didn't know, but they began to tell me that she hadn't been coming for a while, and I said, I knew, I just didn't know if I'd offended her or what happened, but she happened to come one day, and I tell her what I tell every one of y'all here today, and I want to reiterate what Tom said about the fact that it's difficult to go. There's times that I just cannot almost pull myself out the chair. I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. I got every excuse in the book. I think Chuck Swindoll said 90% of ministry is getting there. And I can tell you from doing it full time and you know going part time since 1997 that the battle a lot of times is getting there. And so this lady, she showed up, and these folks came, and they told me, they said, you know, my mom hadn't been coming in a while, and she came back, and it just so happened that that day I preached, and I said, look, if you're still here today, is everybody here to breathing? You're all breathing, right? And that's what I tell them. I say, if you're breathing, you're here today, and you're alive, guess what? If you know Christ, God is not through with you yet. He has something for every one of y'all to do. That's not my job. It's not Tom's job. It's not the pastor over here's job, your preacher's job, but it's every one of our jobs. We are called to be priests. And as we were talking before we started with, I think it was Don, and the Bible says to go and make disciples, right? Well, the key command is to make disciples. But you know, as I know and you know, most people aren't coming to the church today. And so we go to them because they can't come to us. And if we don't get it in our heads and start going to people, then we're going to be in trouble. And so I told these folks that if you're still here, you're still breathing, God is not through with you yet. He has something for you to do. Even if you're 90-something years old or 100 years old, you can pray, you can, you know, talk to your neighbor, you can hold their hand, you can tell them about the Lord like one 96-year-old lady used to do, and then she'd get me to talk to the one she couldn't get to, and she said, why am I still here? I said, you can pray, can't you? She says, yeah. I said, well, you're still here because God's not through with you. And so this lady came, and the kids, they were saying, you know, Mom, she had basically given up on life, and she was ready to quit, and she's just ready to die. I say, why am I here? And she came to hear your sermon, and you said that God's not through with you yet. And we sang the song. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar because we don't sing these old songs anymore. Brighten the corner where you are. And it says, you know, brighten the corner where you are. Wherever you're at, wherever God's placed you, that's your mission field, right? Brighten the corner where you are. And so I said, you can do something right where you're at. And it says, you don't have to travel afar, but brighten the corner where you are. And from that point on, she's been coming just about every week. She said, she had given up on life. She was ready to go. But now she has a purpose. She has a reason. I think about Miss Johnson. She was of a religion that wouldn't come to my services normally. I said one day, I said, well, Miss Johnson normally comes. And they said, well, she's named the religion. And I said, yes, I know, but she's been coming. And there came a battle. Because one Sunday we started talking about, baptism and communion and all these things and how you really truly saved. And she quit coming to church. I went to the room, knocked on a couple times. She says, a couple of weeks in a row, I can't come. Okay. Came back the third week. She's like, nasty, mean. I said, I guess I made her mad. She's not coming back. So I started really praying for this lady that she would really be saved and understand the truth. And I came to her the next time I came. I didn't go to her door, and then one day she showed up, right? Then sometimes she would sit out in the hallway. It was like she felt guilty. But then she starts coming. She'd tell me she couldn't come. But then I'd look around, and there she is sitting in the back. With this big old smile on her face. Something happened to this lady. She got saved. And guess what? Last week I was sitting there and she was like one of the first two people to come into the service. And I'm looking back there and she's like, hey, Pastor McKenzie. Just busting out, grinning from ear to ear. And I'm like, man, and I could name several ladies that like that were mean as snakes and different things. And of course, there's some men that are mean as snakes too, so okay. But some of these ladies that I begin to see, the problem is when you get to that age, there's more women than there are men. And so they are outlasting us men. And, maybe they're just living right and we're not. I don't know. But all I know is when they get a little older, the men are outnumbered about 6-1, I think. But she is smiling and she is just wide open. And I don't know how many ladies that I've gotten to minister to over in Habersham House that I've known. The one lady was, I lived next to her when I was 24 years old. And at one point, we almost had nobody over at Habersham House. And I literally almost quit going. But because I was such a terrible neighbor to this lady, Miss Smiley, I really felt like I really owed it to her if nobody else. Because that was when I was a heathen before I was saved. And we live right next door to her and her husband. They were wonderful people. But I said, I got to keep coming no matter how many people come because I owe it to Miss Smiley, you know. But now we had like 19 people there last week. This is out of a facility about 70. I preached at a church a couple of weeks ago, and we had more at Habersham House than we did at that church, I think. So we're reaching folks. Let me just tell you the fact that what Tom said about being difficult, 99% of the people I talk to, they maybe have a burden like Christy. Christy was fighting it, right? I was fighting it. You know, it's like, who, me, Lord? You want me to go speak to people? You got to be kidding. I can't speak to nobody, Lord. He says, I called you, and if I called you, you go do it, right? Well, guess what? The same thing is true with y'all. And I don't know how many people, 99% of the people say, well, Marty, I want to help you here. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other. And then you know what happens? Life happens. And you know what? That's the devil and God. Devil's tempting you not to do God's will, and God's testing you to see how much you love Him. Are you going to do His will? Are you going to let the world stop you from doing what He wants you to do? Because see, if we're not doing anything for God, we're wasting our life. Isn't that what John Piper said? We're wasting our life. And that's why we're here for Christians. There is a purpose. There is a reason. There is a plan. And so we have to do it no matter what. Somebody told me one day, I said, I set my schedule up. Sometimes he preaches more than I do, but I preach 6 or 7 times almost every week. Tom preaches 6, 7, 8. I think a couple of times he's got 9, but we're preaching somewhere between 26 to 30 sometimes a month. I have come to realize I put those on my schedule because it forces me to go do God's will, that I have to be in a place. And I told somebody one day, they say, well, what good does that do to put it on that schedule? 81 services a month. That's what we do, 980 services. services a year if we make it to every one of them. Now, we don't always make it to every one of them. I said, because it forces me, because I know John's depending on me. I know the kids at the youth detention. I know the folks at the nursing home, at the Haversham House, at the Coastal Harbor for Kids. And I wanted to say something about that. Man, these kids from 4 years old are being locked up because of behavior problems. Five-year-olds wanting to kill themselves. On up to 17 years old over at Coastal Harbor for Kids. And I really need somebody, a couple or somebody that really has a heart for kids and a love for kids that's over 21 years old that wants to go minister to these kids because they really need God. And these young, pretty little girls, I mean, you know, 16, 17-year-old girls, and like Tom said, they're in there locked up because they want to kill themselves or drugs or alcohol, and they should be out, you know, chasing boys and going to school or going to church or whatever you do nowadays, playing their iPods or something. But you know, whatever it is they do today, but, you know, there's just so much out there to do, and there's only so few of us. And then lastly, I just want to say, I tell the folks in the prison, I don't know if I made this up or not, you know, the beer commercials, they tell you to go for all the gusto you can get. And I tell them, don't go for all the gusto you can get, because the gusto will get you. But you go for all the God you can get. So that's my plea to y'all. As we finish up tonight, I'm quitting. I just want to tell you, in front of you today, we don't ask for donations when you come. Many of you have supported with your time, your money, all those things, and I thank you. But let me tell you this. It is June. From June till October, it is terrible, money-wise. Right this minute, we're still $180 short. I don't know what that is. But as of today, there was less than $180 short to pay payroll this week. And that's the way it is. And I know times are tough, and I know times are hard. But I got to ask ourselves, is what we're doing more important, or is what God wants to do more important? And whether you support this ministry, or you support a pregnancy mission, or whatever it is, hey, support somebody. Volunteer somewhere. Do something. That's my plea. And so one of the things we want to do is on the tables, we have some forms and we have some envelopes. What I would like for you to do is if you would be willing to pray for us. We have schedules on the back. They're listed by day. First Monday, second Monday, every Sunday, whatever it is. Get you one. Pray for us. That's my first request. My second request is to take those forms, and if you would be willing to volunteer or give or help us, pray for us. One of the things we really need to do is we've got 70, 80 people here tonight. What we need to do is we need to have some folks that would be willing next year. I want all of y'all that support and volunteer and help with the ministry to be here. But what I'd like to see is during the intervening times, maybe we'd do something like this twice a year, but once a year we'd have some people who like what we do, and they would call up 8 or 10 friends and say, can you come to my house? I got Marty and Tom coming over, and we'll just provide a few snacks, and they want to share their ministry with them, and it's no pressure. Just come hear what we got to say and listen. If you like it, okay. If you don't, we'll call you back, and you say, hey, I'm doing something else. That's fine. And then maybe the second thing is if we did a group like this and say one person say, okay, I want to fill up a table. I'm going to invite 8 friends that don't know anything about His Love Ministries. Or I can invite 4 and fill up this place with people who don't know anything about us. Because the problem is many, many, many people don't know about us. Just as this ministry reaches out to those the world's forgotten, in a way we're kind of forgotten. We're just not known. And, you know, I talked with a guy last night, and he said, look, he says, you know, I could go to the prison with you, but I can't go to the nursing home. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to have more people interested in the jail and the prison than they are the nursing home, because they can see their themselves in the nursing home, and I think it scares them. But they can't see themselves in the jails and the prisons. But let me ask you, if you happen to be there, I mean, my computer died, but if you looked at the statistics that Tom has, that he pulled up, we're getting to baby boomer generation. And there's going to be a lot more folks in these facilities. That means a lot more people we can reach for Christ. And so we thank y'all. We love every one of y'all and appreciate y'all's help in the ministry and your prayer, your support. We do have some prayer lists back there along with our schedule, specific things you can pray for the ministry, verses, specific things. Fill out those forms. Put them in those envelopes. And I guess if y'all don't mind, if you want to leave or whatever, we're going to have the band come up and play one or two more songs, if that's all right with y'all, and then we'll close out tonight. But let me thank the Lord for that, and then if you want to slip out, otherwise you can stay and hear a couple more songs for the band, and we want to thank them again for coming. Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done in our lives, and we thank you for who you are and how much you mean to us. We thank you for the opportunity to reach out to those the world has forgotten, as it says in Matthew 25, that when we did it unto the least of those that were in prison or wherever they were at, that we did it unto you. And you said it wouldn't be the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word who are going to make it to heaven, because those that are just hearers only have deceived themselves and they're not really truly saved. So Lord, help us not to be only hearers but doers also, because you've called us to reach out and to go and to minister to the widows and the orphans and all those folks that are out there, out and about, from our neighbors all the way to the uttermost parts of the earth. And we just thank you for how much you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.